Well, we're looking at this the subject we had entitled it, The Last 7 Days, and it was laid out because of, we looked at a vision that Kenneth Hagin had had back in September 2nd in 1950. And looking back at that, one of the things that is, was it was really a vision that Jesus spoke to him and had to do with America in the last days. And so one of the things that the Lord had spoken to me about with this is, over the years, I don't know how many times over the years that the Lord has taken me back to this and had me go through it in different times of events and things that have happened. And especially looking in the last days of the things that are going on and happening. One of the things that, the Lord spoke to me about was the fact of, is this vision true? Or does, in other words, does it line up with the Word? Today we have so much of things that people say and do. There's all kind of things of prophecy and different things that people say and do. But we need to understand, do things line up with Scripture? In other words, the foundation of our belief is based in the Word of God. That's where it is in the Word of God. And so we've been looking at this, and this is important because if this vision is God speaking to America, the nation, then we need to come in line with what God said needs to be done. And this vision really is a warning to the church for Christians. It's a definite warning, really leading into deception. And I'll tell you what, we're living today in a really deceived church world. A very deceived church world when it comes, there's so much, you know, it used to be a very, very simple, concerning the gospel of faith in Christ Jesus for salvation and things, and now things are all over the place. People have, the beliefs, the things that are said and done out here. We have all these things said where people talk about God and loving, if God loves, now if God loves, He's not going to judge anything, He's not going to deal with anything, and we've gone to the place where, I know ministers who used to, spirit-filled ministers, used to walk in the light of the Word of God, who today believe everybody's going to heaven. They believe nobody goes to hell. They even, some have gone as far as saying that Satan will be in heaven. I mean, it's just, there's insanity out here to no end. And it isn't just, people look at the denominational churches. No, I'm talking about the spirit-filled church is full of craziness today. Filled with insanity teaching. Things have gotten out where people today don't believe that. Ones are talking and say, you don't have to believe in the virgin birth anymore. You don't need to. Well, if Jesus was not born of a virgin, He does not qualify as Savior for the world. If He was born of the same seed as ordinary men, then He had the sin nature. He could not be our Redeemer. An impossibility. He couldn't have been born just as a regular man. We wouldn't have had to have Him if it was, and God could have chose just another man to turn around and be a Redeemer if it could come that way, but He couldn't. The Lamb of God was going to save man, had to be sinless. He had to have the God nature. And because He did, that's why you and I can have the God nature today. Hallelujah. If He just had the seed of man, I just want to tell you with us, our faith is worthless and hopeless. We're all lost. Well, I'm sorry, I'm not. Hallelujah. So, I believe Jesus was what the Word said He was. But there's all kind of things going on today. There's teachings among even the spirit-filled people are going picking up on the evolution stuff and things. Well, then again, if you get in the evolution side of it, well, then Jesus couldn't have been, the whole thing of mankind. Where did mankind get the sin nature from? If all those things happen, well, it puts man on the level of animal. Well, then it wouldn't be any more wrong to eat a man than it would be to eat a steer. I mean, we need to see, when we get over into these things, and the church world has picked all these things up, and they're doing these things, they're talking this stuff, really craziness. I heard a minister say on a radio show, he's talking about faith in Jesus, and he said, Jesus didn't have a body like we do. He said, He didn't have DNA like we do. Well, if He didn't, He wasn't a man. Hold it. I don't know where these people are coming from. It's because right now today we have a lot of the lingo of Christianity. But here's one thing you need to understand about deception. Deception always has truth in it. always. You will not find deception that don't have truth. It's not deceiving. If it had nothing true in it, you wouldn't believe it. Wouldn't deceive you. But see, people will come along and they will throw truth out there. It's like, I've listened to some of them. They'll talk. And I mean, they'll tell you a bunch of things that are true. Then they throw a little piece of poison in there. All of a sudden, they'll throw something in there that throws it off. And that's what they'll do. And I will guarantee you they'll do this. They'll go along and along and eventually throw another piece of poison in there. A deceived person will always go to further deception if they don't repent of their deception. They will always, always be further deceived. Always. A person who doesn't, who has had deception and don't turn from it, they will always accept something else. They'll always go to another spot. That's why it's just good to be a person who repents. Says, oh, okay, I was wrong on that one, you know. Okay, because if you don't, I guarantee you, the person will always take another deception along the way, pick up another one. That happens all the time. Now, I'm going to go back. We haven't been reading over the part before that we were using of this vision, but I want to read it to us. Dealing with the end times, we've looked at things so far and we're finding out that the scripture, that what Jesus showed Kenneth Hagin here is not something foreign to scripture. That scripture's, it's something in scripture, scripture says. It's like I said, if you look at the book of Revelation, you can go back into the Old Testament and see loads of things that were lined up exactly what was said in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation wasn't a new revelation. It was just a compiling, really, which was very fortunate for the church. God, through Christ Jesus, brought the revelation out and put a lot of the things, the whole things together, that you could see the whole thing instead of being spread out through the Old Covenant. But the stuff's in the Old Covenant. So God's not doing a different thing. It may be different to us because of things we didn't know. But it's nothing different with God. We get further revelation as we go along. And as long as we stay in line with the Word. So one thing, always use the Bible as your measuring stick. That's always a good thing to do. If you use the Bible as your measuring stick, you'll be all right. And that's why as we want to look and measure at things here. Now I'm just going to pick up into this prophecy and the part that the Lord, vision that the Lord had. And what it was he had seen in a vision, there was a rider came and handed him a scroll and he began to read it. And it says, the scroll was written in the first person and it seemed Jesus himself were speaking. He said, I read America is receiving her last call. Some nations already have received their last call and never will receive another. Now we didn't even know this. This is 1950. He said America is having its last call. We're going to find out as we continue teaching around these subjects, because what we do, we need to understand and measure things according to how God views things. Because we're going to find out, we'll read later on. See, Peter made this statement about people in the end times misreading the end times. And in 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter, Peter made mention, he said about the ones who were scoffers about the return of Christ, he said they willfully forget one thing. He said they willfully forget something. He said a day with the Lord is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. Now, using that, we can find, as I've done some teaching like with the end times before, we're back in the book of Genesis, lays out things concerning the end times. That God reveals the end from the beginning. So you can always look through Scripture and find things that God reveals. Well, see, one of the things is 1,000 years. So when we look at God says that really speaking of the end is close, here he was speaking in 1950, we would think about, well, my words, here we are in 2021. But to God in time, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. One of the things that marvels me about God in many things, and I even see it in the Old Covenant, where God turns around and gives, you talk about ample time to turn. If you go back and read in the book of Genesis, you'll find that God gave the people in the land of Canaan, before he sent Israel in and took over the land, said he gave them 450 years to repent. You talk about merciful God. He gave them 450 years to repent. Well, what's he doing in America? We're right now sitting in a thing in America. 1950, God has given all these years telling America, as this thing goes on, to talk about repenting, giving America the call to repentance. God is super merciful. I am so thankful He spoke a long time ago. I am so glad in His kindness and mercy. No one will stand before Him and say, "We didn't know." No one will ever stand there. He's always merciful. He gives ample time for man to turn. So, to me, this is a wonderful thing. See, sometimes people either get on the negative side of these things. Man, I see the mercy of God. I see the mercy of God in this thing. Hallelujah. Well, it goes on to say, it says, "Then in large print it said, 'The time of the end of all things is at hand.'" The statement was repeated 4 or 5 times. Jesus also said, "This was the last great revival." Then He said, He went to say, "All the gifts of the Spirit will be in operation in the church and in these last days, and the church will do greater things than even the early church did. It will have greater power, signs, and wonders than were recorded in the Acts of the Apostles." He said that we have seen and experienced many healings, but we will now behold amazing miracles that have not been seen before. Jesus continued, "More and more miracles will be performed in the last days, which are just ahead, for it is the time for the gifts of the working of miracles to be more in prominence. We now have entered the era of the miraculous." You know, this is one of the things, if these things are speaking here are true, then the church needs to begin to talk different about the end times. We need to begin to speaking like God is speaking about it. See, God wants us to have a different view than the world. This is really important in these last days. You know, I saw this especially. It really shocked me in the year 2000 when I watched, well, even during part of Trump's as presidency and then into the year 2000, the church got so negative in its talking. It started complaining always about what the world's doing and what's going on and what this political party's doing and this person. And they weren't confessing what God's saying. You know, it's like I said, praying for our leaders is a worthless thing if you're going to complain about them. I mean, don't even bother lifting your voice to pray, because your voice, what you complain about them about, you're just going to make negative anything. Why pray for them and complain about them? Like God ain't doing nothing. It's like I said back when, this goes back long before that, when I was praying when Bill Clinton was president, and I was praying, and one day the Lord spoke to me and said, "Don't do you a bit of good to pray for Bill Clinton." Well, I you know, you sort of get offended a little bit there. He said, "Don't do a bit of good." He said, "You pray for him and then talk like I ain't doing nothing anyhow." I said, "Oh my God." Guilty as charged. And see, especially in 2020, the Spirit-filled church got so negative. So negative. Much. Now, thank God there's people who were walking right, but a huge part of them. Ministers were just complaining about the government. The government was the problem. No, the problem was the church. The problem was the church. The church did nothing about this virus and flu. The church just complained through it. The church did nothing to bring things to a halt. And see, I said, "God, what are we doing, man? This thing's getting to be a mess." And all we're hearing is complaining. Well, God's still merciful. He ain't thrown us under the bus. He's still kind to us. Hallelujah. But we see here, but we're living in a day. He said the day is miraculous. He's talked these last days about glory. See, we got to get glory back on our minds again. The glory of God. Hallelujah. Get ourselves back over. God desires to move. That's His desire. We know that God wants a move of God in these last days. Now, I've heard numbers of ministers say this, and even, you know, Christians. "Well, you know, there's not going to be a move of God. Things are too bad. People are this and that." Well, Peter wrote and said about, he talked about the farmer at the end. He's using the end times, talking about God, speaking about God. 1,000 years is with God is one day, and one day is another. And then he said, the farmer's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Well, if there's not going to be a revival, then what is God waiting for? We might as well leave and quit. What are we doing sitting here? He said the reason that it is prolonging is because there's going to be a harvest. There is going to be a harvest, folks. There is. That's what God is waiting for. So see, we got to get in to change the way that we think. We got to get moved over in the areas of thinking like God does. God desire. When God looks in the earth, you know, the Bible says where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. See, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for grace because sin sure abounded. You can look and see, well, sin's abounding. Hallelujah. But grace. See, grace is not moved by sin. Grace can always overcome sin. Man responds to it. Grace will always overcome it. No one got so sinful God couldn't save them. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. You know, you look for the worst guy. I love this story that Kenneth Hagin told years ago. I remember listening to it. I always like to think about this story. But he talks about he was holding some meetings at a church he was at. And he talked, this was back in Depression days. And he said, you know, the churches didn't have air conditioning. The windows would be open. The doors would be open. And he said, on Saturday nights, they'd have revival meetings. He said, the church would get so packed. He said, because sinners would all come out. Because he said, there was nothing to do. So church was part of their entertainment. And he said, outside the church, he said, it was, outside was all filled with people. And he said, he was standing up front. And he said, the Lord spoke to him about a man that was sitting right toward the back. And he said to this man, he said, the Lord tells me that you're a sinner. And the guy said, yep. He said, you got it right. He said, the Lord tells me, he said, you have a double hernia. And the guy said, yep. He said, you're right again. And then he told him some other things that the Lord had said, and this guy said, he's right. He said, the Lord said, if you come down here right now, he'll heal you. And the guy was instantly healed. And really, a lot of the people in the church had a really hard time with this, because see, Kenneth Hagin was there. He didn't know who this man was, but the rest of the people did. Everybody else did. And the pastor said, the pastor told him afterwards, he said, I just can't believe God healed that man. He said, he's the evil and most mean man in this town. He said, a lot of people won't even talk to him. He said, he is so filthy and so they don't even want to be around him. And he said, God healed him. And he said to Kenneth Hagin, well, why'd God heal him? And Kenneth Hagin said, I don't know. I just know Jesus died for the ungodly and he qualified. Hallelujah. Well, see, we qualify, folks. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Whew. My God. Now, he went on to say this. That here's dealing with God's people, because he went on to say in this vision, he said that Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, many of my people, he said, will not accept the moving of my spirit, will turn back and will not be ready to meet me at my coming. Many will be deceived by false prophets and miracles of satanic origin, but follow the word of God, the spirit of God in me, and you will not be deceived. I am gathering my own together and in preparing them, for the time is short. This is what, is don't, you know, a lot of people, they read things like this, they get fearful. Don't get fearful of these things. He told us here, we follow the word, the spirit, and him, we're fine. We're going to be okay. See, God didn't make the way so hard that we can't follow it. See, people keep looking for something else. It's like what they don't have is enough. You know, the word's enough. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit's enough. Hallelujah. And so he tells us here, but we're going to find out that people are going to get deceived. One of the things that people will be deceived that happens every time, people get off the word. They'll start listening to other things. They'll start bringing other things in. That's what happens. That's where deception comes. So he said, he'll be deceived. He said, I'm gathering my own together and I'm preparing them, for the time is short. So in other words, it's preparation time. Then he went on to say, there were several other exhortations to watchfulness, awaken and pray, and not be deceived. Then I read, as it was in the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As I spoke to Noah and said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will be destroyed from off the face of the earth. So today I'm speaking and giving America her last warning and call to repentance. And the time that is left is comparable to the last 7 days of Noah's time. And this is where the last 7 days, the Lord told me to title this, because what we're living in the last 7 days. In the last 7 days was Noah entering the ark. See, that's the time of the church today, is to enter the ark. We're into the safety of God. It's time. It isn't time to be playing out here, you know, some kind of Christianity. It's time to be in. See, we have many people are deceived or outside. They think they're all right. They think it's okay. But this is a time. That was the whole thing of Kenneth Hagin's ministry. The Lord called him. His ministry was to get the church ready for the return of Jesus Christ. That's what his ministry was for. And see, he was supposed to raise up people to pick up that ministry. See, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we're in the last days. We should be telling people to get their lives straight. Get in the ark. Get yourself, you know, get yourself right with God. Get yourself in. If there's repentance, he's calling our nation. America has been called to repentance. But have we nationally? Are we doing that? No, we're not doing it. America's in a very dangerous place and doesn't understand the danger. So one of the things that we need to understand is for ourselves. This is why the safety, in other words, the only thing that's going to help America are the people that are in the safety of the ark. Because the people, the Christians outside, they ain't going to change nothing. They're going to keep following like the world is and change nothing. If anybody, anything's going to get turned around, it has to be the people who are following God. They're the ones that can turn some things around, not the people on the outside. The church on the outside ain't changing nothing. The churches that's following the world, they ain't changing anything. They're walking in the flesh. So it's one of the things, this is why, if you're going to do anything for Jesus in these last days, live for Jesus. That's the only way that God can change things. He does it through His people in the earth. If we follow and walk with Him, He'll move because we ask Him. He'll move because the church, and there always is, there's always a remnant church, it always has been. You know, just like with Elijah, he said, I'm the only guy left. He said, no, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee. Well, really, that isn't a lot. You know, you take Israel, 10 tribes, and only 7,000 hadn't bowed their knee. Man, I'm going to tell you what, that ain't good. That isn't good. But you know what? God was moved by the 7,000 that didn't bow their knee. Hallelujah. Well, if He had moved by the 7,000, I believe we got more than 7,000 people that are walking and following God in America. I believe the remnant church is definitely bigger than that. Hallelujah. But if we'll follow and walk with God, glory to God, God will respond to us. Hallelujah. So we're in this last 7-day period. He said, warn this generation. In other words, this generation that we see right now, this is from the 1950s. Now, we think about the move of God. In the 1950s, they had the healing revivals. In the 60s, they started in the teaching and movement, and then the charismatic renewal and all that. Those things came. And then people got... Isn't it amazing how flaky people got in such a short period of time? Such moves of God. But you know what? That's been the norm in America. Think about back at the turn of the 1900s. In 1900s, the move of the Spirit, we had Azusa Street and all those things on. By the 1920s, America was so heathen, it was phenomenal. America got so heathen. People just wash back and forth. And what happens is lots of times it's a church. The church doesn't realize what they do. Because what they do is, you know, there's a move of God, and it's almost becomes like a playground to them. And they don't. God gives His people opportunity to move in and walk and develop, but people don't do it. Things don't go along, and next thing you know, they're out here following after what they did before. Is staying over in the move of God. And here we have, He says, warn this generation as Noah, his generation. He said, why? For judgment is about to fall. Judgment. And we've been seeing our nation, there's judgments happening. It's like what we see today. I mean, there's loads of ministers, named Spirit-filled ministers. I can sit here and name you big-name spiritual ministers who, you know, some of the largest charismatic ministers saying, no, we don't have any judgment going on today. There's no judgment. I think this is all fun and games is happening. I don't know. I don't know what they think. There's no judgment. And see, one of the things... We are not living in the day of final judgment, and what they don't understand. Judgment comes along, we find out judgment in the church. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about themselves. If they didn't judge themselves, says God would judge them if they didn't. And yet these ministers, saying big name ministers, they don't believe in none of that. They don't believe in those things. And I, you know, blows my mind. But anyhow, I'm just going to stick with the Bible. I don't want to take a shot at it to see if I can get by. So, and he said, and these sayings shall be fulfilled shortly. He said, for I'm coming soon, Jesus repeated. This is the last revival, he said. So this time of this revival, see, when we think about it, we see something die off, but you know, God doesn't see it in that manner. God doesn't see it like we do. And so he said, that's right. He said, I'm preparing my people for my coming. Judgment is coming, but I will call my people away even unto myself before the worst shall come. He said, but be thou faithful, watch and pray, for the time of the end of all things is at hand. Is one of the things is, back in the 1990s, there was two incidences where I had visions where the Lord spoke to me and showed me in a vision some things about America that was going to happen in the end. And when I think about it, you know, because God reveals something to you, you know, you usually think it, you usually judge it in the light of what you know at the time. And I, you know, he had told me, when I look today, he was trying to show me what was these things that are going on today. But I was thinking of it in a, like back it was then, and I thought, you know, things will not be too good, but I never thought things were going to get this bad in the church world. I walk around today, I think, oh my God, you know, it is a lot worse than I thought it was back then. What he was trying to show me, what was going to happen. He said, before things get to their worst, and I can just tell you this right now, it hasn't reached its worst yet. Now, I just want to say this to Christians. Don't be afraid. God's word will uphold his people. God's word. See, don't get moved. See, God, you know, God's people, God ain't out to get his people. He ain't out trying to, you know, he's calling ones of his to repentance, but the people that are following it, he's going to take care of us. What good would it be if he didn't? If he didn't? Who wants to join? If the same judgment's going to fall on me, it falls on the people who don't follow God. I mean, who's going to want to join the church? I mean, who's going to want to be a part of the church? Nobody. You know, years ago, there was a guy who wrote a book. It was a prominent minister wrote a book of really how God was going to pour judgment out, basically the end times, and wipe the church out. Is what he was going to do, and it was going to be this great glorious thing of destroying the church. And I thought about it, boy, the world's going to really be impressed with that one. They're all going to want to join Jesus to get destroyed. They won't be able to wait for that one. But people get over in their minds about things, and you know, there's one thing: God is good, and he hasn't changed. And God upholds his word. He'll always uphold his word. Now, we looked at things, we dealt with the fact, and we found that using of scripture, that Jesus himself spoke concerning Israel in the second coming of Christ, not the coming for the church, but the second coming, he referred to the days like Noah. In other words, the judgment. So we see in judgment, we see what happened in judgment in Noah's day. Jesus did in reference of it. Also, we find that Peter used those references concerning end times. In other words, dealing with judgment and things coming because of wickedness in the earth, it is always this. It's the same thing. God gives a warning period of time. With Noah, it was 120 years. He was building the ark and preaching. For 120 years, he preached that there was going to be a flood coming. In other words, God giving a warning. He's doing it in the same thing in our time here. If we look at Jesus' warning to just like with Israel, when Jesus in his day, the Messiah shows up, and they don't accept the Messiah. Jesus comes into the temple 40 years before the destruction where the Romans came down and destroyed the temple and everything. He gave them a 40-year warning. God gave them a 40-year warning. Hey, wake up, folks. Jesus told them what was going to happen. Why? Because of the rejection of the Messiah. They were going to turn. God's a warning giver. I mean, you go over and look at the prophets of Isaiah and all those guys. The warnings that God did for so many years to Israel ahead of time on things. He's always doing that. That's his pattern of doing things. He always does it that way. God always will show mercy. So when the fact of it is the Lord speaking to us as being in this time period, I believe we are in the time period of the end. In 1987, before I went to Rhema, and I've told you about it before, but I preached a sermon in a church, and the Lord said to me concerning that sermon, he said to me, in the last days, while I was getting this sermon ready, studying it, he said, before I return, he said, the main message is going to be preached is the return of Jesus Christ. He said that's what the church is going to be preparing to leave. And we need to know, if we're in the days of Noah, the church is sure not acting like it. Noah wasn't making plans to be staying. Noah wasn't trying to build the biggest 401k in the world. You see, people need to understand what we're doing. He talked about what they were doing in that time. And they were doing at that, they were living like nothing's going to change. Most Christians are living like nothing's going to change. That's right. And that's the whole thing. You know, God's always a guy who shuts a door. And we need to understand this, is we need to start to think. That's why, if these things are true, then my response to them has to be by faith. In other words, if I believe it's true, then I got to start acting like it's true. It don't matter. People say, I believe this and I believe this. I don't care what people say they believe. I want to see what they're going to do. Your doing is the proof of your faith. You can talk. Today, the church world, oh, we believe Jesus is coming back. I'm just waiting to see somebody act like it. We begin to act like he's returning. We begin to move in the direction of preparation. John wrote and said, and this is where Jesus had spoken to me about it, says, those who have this hope, speaking of the hope, the return of Jesus Christ, purify themselves. People that really believe Jesus is coming back are cleaning their lives up. People who don't are not. People who just say, we believe Jesus is coming back, if they ain't cleaning their lives up, I know this, they don't believe that. It's all talk. It's talk. We purify ourselves. So this is part of what we do. Is he coming back? Is he? Well, then I have to start living like he's coming back. I got to start doing that. We're in a position, a place of time to start to warn people. I know this. It's not going to be popular. You're not going to be, you know what? You know, Fox News ain't going to like you doing that. You know, nobody will. You're going to be a weirdo. You're going to be a strangio, you know, talking about leaving. Well, we're leaving, folks. We're going to go. We're living in the end times. We're in this place. There will be no scoffers if nobody talks about him coming back.
That's right.
The only reason there's going to be scoffers, there's going to be people acting like he's coming back. Right now, there's not many scoffers because the church isn't acting like he's coming back. And that's part of our warning. You know, if you look at the message that Noah had, you know, there's going to be a flood. There's judgment coming on the earth. The only safe place is in the ark. Well, see, nobody experienced. We have never experienced the fact of Jesus coming in the sky. You know, we sit down and we read about it in the book, but none of us have experienced any of this stuff. But the Bible says it's going to happen. Oh, we're going to have to act like it's true. That Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to take the church. And we have to know, in our hearts, you know, if we take the things we, you know, some of the things I'd been teaching on some of the Sundays that I had been teaching on the fact of the groaning within ourselves. And that was for the redemption, for the new body. Most of Christianity has no groaning within herself. They don't notice it. They don't know within themselves it's getting time to leave. It's getting time to get the new body. It isn't that it's not there. There's not a pulling in us. It's much of the church has become dead spiritually and don't notice what's going on in the inside of them. We have to notice what's going on in the inside. What's happening inside of me? What's the Holy Ghost doing inside of me? What's he talking? Not what I'm talking. What's he talking? What's he saying? What's he promoting? What direction is he going? See, that's what we have to come to in the church. And especially with these things here are so important to us, because we found as we studied in here on this, is the things that were happening and the things that were happening and going on here, especially from the church, deception in the church world. And that's one of the things that we talked about. We found out this because Jesus had made mention about the false prophets and things, and we found out all the warnings there are in the New Testament about false prophets and teachers in the church in the last days. It's filled with it. Paul wrote about it. Peter wrote about it. All of them even mentioned. John wrote about it. All these things were even, that the church was going to, there was deception coming. There was going to be doctrines of devils preached. This is all in the church. This is not the world. This is what's going to happen in the church. And we have it today. We have doctrines of devils being taught in the church world. People are saying all kinds of crazy things and, you know, stuff. And so you have these things, but we are warned. Just think about the, I mean, here we are. We're sitting down to about 2,000 years past this thing. God gave us a 2,000-year warning on this deception, and the church fell for it anyhow. We've had this book a long time, folks. Warning us that in the last days about the things that would happen. Yet people have fallen for it. They've just fell right into it. They've just gone along listening to prophets, you know, all the people, the frustration over the things of, you know, all the prophets that stood up and said, well, you know, Trump's going to be the next president, and it didn't work. Said God said. Well, God didn't say. Men said. Men said. Men were talking. And you know what? Loads of the Christians followed after them. Listened to them and listened to them. Said they had visions, they had dreams, and God appeared to them. I listened to some of them, a number of them, talking about their visions and their dreams, and God showed them what all was going to happen, and none of it's come true. It wasn't God. See, you can get full, so full of your ideas, I'll tell you what, the devil will give you dreams and visions and things in line. Because something supernatural happens, it don't mean it's God. Jesus, the devil, took him up on a mountain and showed him all the things. The devil took him and put him on the pinnacle of the temple. Well, was it God? Because it was supernatural? No. And see, people today, something supernatural, that doesn't make it God. I'm just going to tell you this. If you will follow the Word closely, the devil probably won't mess with you very much in the area trying to give you false visions and dreams. But if you're moved more by things than the Word, he has an open door to come and bring things to you. This is why follow close to, if you follow the Word. That's what Jesus said. You follow the Word, follow the Spirit, and follow me. He didn't say follow the Spirit first. He said follow the Word first. The Spirit always moves in line with the Word. If you don't know the Word, any spirit can come along and manifest itself, and people will think that it's God. Hallelujah. Remember we read last week, we test the spirits whether they're of God. That's what we do. We test the spirits whether they're of God. If you have something or something, you know, things, God, Jesus Christ is not nervous that you would question something. If you aren't sure and don't know, he would be happy to explain it to you. He'd be happy. He put the Holy Spirit in you to teach you. So if you're not sure and you don't know, that's one of the things that I always admired about Kenneth Hagin concerning any visions or dreams that he had. He used to say this, and he told Jesus. One time Jesus appeared to him and told him certain things, and he said, man, he said, I can't accept that. He said, I can't see that. He said in the Word. And he said this to Jesus in the vision. He said, I'll never tell anybody about this because, he said, if I can't see it in the Word, I'm not telling it to anybody else. And the Lord said, I'll show you. And God gave him five scriptures that dealt with the thing. And he said, I see what you're, then I know. But see, the whole thing of it is, understanding is what the Word says. He said, I've listened to him and followed this. If you can't prove it by the scriptures, it should not be taught nor said. It shouldn't be taught nor said if you can't prove it by scriptures. Now, and that's really important, because if you do, if people start doing that, they open the doors to things. And today, people are very gullible. People like sensational stuff. Not supernatural, they like sensational. People love things that seem sensational. And I've watched this over the years, because I've watched ministers who always do it, telling wild stories. And they tell wild stories and have no proof of them actually have happened. In fact, there's some stories that ministers, I've heard big name ministers tell. I researched to find out about where these events ever happened, and found out they didn't ever happen. They got stories got passed on down the line. People start telling. Nobody checks to find out if it's true. How many remember Percy Cholet? Percy Calais goes back in the 1980s. Percy Calais was a guy that came along, loads of the big name ministers and all that had him in there. This guy went around and started that he said he was a missionary down in the Amazon, and he got caught up to heaven a number of times, and he told all these fantastic stories about miraculous things that happened in the Amazon and all this stuff. And he went through this whole thing. He was a guest speaker around back in the 80s at places, and there were people buying his tapes. He had these series of tapes and that stuff about heaven and all this kind of stuff. And everybody just jumped on board with it, and they're all doing this thing. And man, I'm going to tell you what, I mean, Copeland and all those boys, they had him in and speaking. Oh boy, this is God, man. This is doing it. And you know, to kind of find out the guy was never even a missionary in the Amazon. None of that stuff ever happened. Nobody ever checked it. Everybody loves something sensational. Tell me something sensational. Give me something. I want this. The same thing today. How many of you have heard of the Bible in Georgia that was oil? Oil coming out of a Bible. They've had just this thing. Just, this is oil coming out of a Bible. They had this Bible. The oil would just pour out of it. Pour out. They put it in a container. And this container, they put cameras on it and all kinds of stuff. And this container would fill up with oil and that stuff. Oh, and they were taking this Bible places, and this was this special oil from God. This special oil. Well, I knew that wasn't true. God don't have no special oil. If he was, I'd put it in my car and we're going to... It ought to double the mileage or something. I don't know. But hey, this whole thing went out. And all these people, big name ministers. Ah. This oil and this, but see, something that seems supernatural. And what I know is, number one, God don't have something special, an oil, some kind of special. They said this is something special for healing in these days that God's given us. Well, we've always had faith in the Word for healing. I mean, what is there anything better? Is there anything more sure than the Word? Well, see, people get off now. Look, this is happening among the Spirit-filled groups. This is happening among them. Well, they found out then, after all this, it's been fake. Here, this whole thing was it, and they were just, oh man, they had this big thing going, man. I'll tell you what, this Bible was pumping oil out. I just, if it had been enough that they could have, you know, opened a refinery or something, that would have been cool. That was, but the whole thing of it is, people falling for, people want something that's sensational, something that's, wow, you know, like that. It comes down to it. The only way you can get people to go there, if you're getting people away from the Word of God. People who knew the Word were trying to tell them, hey, hold, this is what the Bible says. You're saying this is His special oil. That's not what the Scripture teaches, doesn't teach that. And so, well, that isn't what they wanted to hear. They saw something that was spectacular. Ah, isn't this something? This isn't a great thing that we're going to have. People wanted that. Now, I don't know what hit Georgia over the field, but they also had another, a baptismal, and people would get baptized. I forget what they were saying would happen to them. They would go into some frenzy or something like that, and they thought this was some big thing. It's probably got a demon spirit or whatever it was. I don't know. But anyhow, they made it so when people, so everybody's going to get baptized. Now, number one, there's no place in Scripture that isn't anything special from the standpoint of getting baptized in the water. Other than you're showing what baptism was actually for. They actually, when you get baptized, you're going to get a special blessing. Nowhere in Scripture teaches any such thing. Nowhere. Now, I'll just be honest, I never understood. I mean, Christians, they go over visit Israel, and they all got to go down the Jordan and get baptized. I'm sorry, I'm already saved. A dip in the Jordan ain't going to do nothing but get my shirt dirty. That's all's going to happen down there. I'm already baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're doing good. But see, Christians, they believe there's a special blessing to do that. It's unscriptural. There's no scriptural basis for it. If I get baptized, well, if that was it, then does everybody have to go get baptized in Jordan? Are you? You're never going to amount to nothing with God. You get to Israel and get baptized, I tell you. But see, this stuff runs. People do it, you know? We get down here and we get down to the tomb where Jesus went. They don't know if that's the real tomb. None of that, any of those places or any of this stuff, they don't know. Those were all things that were done centuries ago, and loads of it's fraud stuff. Yeah. It's like, what all I know is he ain't in it. You know, Bible says this, that you and I are supposed to know no man after the flesh. And you should not know Jesus after the flesh. We don't walk with the Jesus that was in the Bible. We walk with the glorified Jesus that's sitting at the right hand of God. He's God today, man. He's not walking down here. He's a glorified man, hallelujah, who is God. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. He was down here to thank God for what he did down in this earth to save us. But the one we walk to with all authority in heaven and earth now belong to him. That's our Lord. Know no man after the flesh. Hallelujah. Know the glorified Jesus that you serve. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's God. He's given you the name which is above every name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Demons have to bow to that name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease has to bow to that name. Because of what he did. That's the one that we're serving today. Thank God. We believe on what he did in this earth to be saved. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you what. We're communing with the living one. Who's hallelujah. We're seated in heavenly places with him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You talk about good news. That's good news. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? I do want to read to you here from 2 Peter. Because Peter wrote using the things about what happened concerning in the last days, and he talks about the fact in 2 Peter, the second chapter, and it's going to start in verse 1, and he says this. In fact, if you read 2 Peter in like the second and third chapters, they basically are covering the same subject. It's about really dealing with Christians in the last days and dealing with what God's doing in the last days concerning judgment and different things that Peter wrote about there. But here I want you to see this, that Peter, now this is a writing to the church. He's writing to Christians. He in verse 1 says, but there will also be false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. So he's warning them of the false teachers. And Israel had false prophets. He said, you'll have false teachers. Listen to this. Who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. We will continue this teaching in our next Bible study session.